In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We hear today in the Gospel about this event which takes place right after the Lord's transfiguration. He has taken three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up onto Mount Tabor and has appeared to them in his divine glory. And now they come back down from that mountaintop experience, which was a high point, and the disciples find themselves at a low point. Here, the Lord finds his disciples having been approached by this man whose son has this spirit that causes him to be to lose control of himself. And this man comes begging that the disciples would heal his son. Heal him of this unclean spirit that causes him to be deaf and dumb and, you know, out of control and so on. And the disciples aren't able to do anything. And so then the Lord comes along and the man speaks to him and tells him what happened. And the Lord says, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." This is his response. In other words, the sickness itself, the sickness of sin, and all that that brings with it, you know, demonic possession, physical ailments, everything, is caused by our lack of faith. Because what is faith? It's to give our whole heart to Christ, to give our whole selves to God, to believe in Him, to believe His Word, to trust in Him, and to obey, to be faithful. For us as Christians, faith isn't just some kind of mental assent to something. It's a way of life. It's to be faithful to God, to be true to Him. And so this is the root and the cause of all of our suffering, including what happened to this boy. And of course, the Lord is able to heal, but He wants to, as He always does, He wants to elicit faith. And so, in His conversation with this man, we see this very interesting dynamic. He asks the Father to give him an opportunity to speak, you know, with pain from the depths of his soul, to speak about what's taken place, his suffering, his son's suffering, and how the father has suffered because the son has suffered. So he asks him, "How long has this been happening to you?" And the man says, "From childhood." And he explains, "Often the spirit has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything," right? "If you can do anything, Lord, have compassion on us and help us." And of course, his "if you can do anything" reveals a lack of faith. A lack of faith. And the Lord responds as if to say, it's not a matter of if I can do anything. It's a matter of whether you can believe. He says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So the question is, do you believe? Do you have faith? And then the man responds in a way that once again reveals his lack of faith, and yet it's a beautiful prayer in its honesty, its realness. He says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." As if to say, I believe, but not like I should. I have faith, but not the deep faith that I ought to have. And Lord, I don't even know how to have more faith, how to believe truly. I don't even know how to get there. But by your grace, I hope that it's possible. So he's asking him not only to heal his son, but to heal himself, to give him faith. So the man says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And of course, then the Lord rebukes the unclean spirit, saying, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." And the boy falls down as though dead, The people even think that he's dead, but the Lord raises him up and he's freed from the spirit. Now the disciples ask him, why could we not cast this spirit out? Why could we not do it? And the Lord doesn't rebuke them for their lack of faith. But he says, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. Which are the tools that God gives us in order to cultivate faith, to strengthen our faith. We fast in order to strengthen our prayer, and we pray, and in praying we draw near to the Lord, and our hearts are opened up to his grace. And that little faith can grow into great faith. It becomes possible as we engage faithfully in our Christian life. So, faith, once again, is a moral choice. It's not an accident that happens to us. And when we choose to engage in the disciplines that Christ gives us in his church, then that faith can grow. We have the possibility of cultivating it, but we have to be willing. We have to choose to exercise these tools that God gives us, to use these tools, to exercise that ability that we have to cultivate faith and to grow in our nearness to God. Our retreat last Saturday with Deacon Nicholas Kotar was one in which we addressed this issue of the need to have eyes of faith, to see the world through eyes of faith. And Deacon Nicholas diagnosed a problem that we see in our society, in our world, as a failure of imagination. In other words, to use the ability that God has given us to envision the possibilities, to see that the world isn't just flattened out into a single dimension, but it's a world in which there are many dimensions, a world in which heaven and earth coexist. They coexist. And we can say, besides diagnosing this problem as a failure of imagination, or another way of putting it would be, it's a failure of spiritual vision. It's a failure in us to have eyes of faith, eyes to see the reality, ears to hear when God speaks. It's a failure. And this is caused by the fact that we've all sort of imbibed this materialistic worldview that exists in the modern world. We believe in what we see and what we can touch, what we can probe, what we can do experiments on scientifically. We believe in material things as a society. And what's invisible to us because we don't have eyes to see, and what we don't hear because we don't have ears to hear, we cease to believe in. And we come to the point where we don't see any other world but the world of material reality. And it's because, the eyes of faith in us have atrophied that we're not aware of the things that are going on around us all the time, the spiritual realities, the spiritual warfare, the angels and the demons, and God's presence, his presence here and now and everywhere, always, in every situation in our life. Today is the feast of St. John Climacus. It's the Sunday during Lent on which we remember St. John Climacus, the fourth Sunday. And St. John Climacus is lived by faith. He's a man, he's a saint who lived by faith. And he speaks to us in his Ladder of Divine Ascent. He speaks to us of the need to cultivate these eyes of faith, to grow in faith, to believe that God is everywhere present and filling all things, and to live by his providence rather than living by our own vain imaginings. So St. John Climacus is given to us as an example of living by faith, and he himself speaks to us of this need, and he helps us by his words to cultivate eyes of faith. And I want to speak of three particular examples from his life actually, were events that took place around him that he was involved in that tell us something about living by faith, about having a true spiritual vision of the world around us. The first story comes from the time when he was living as a hermit in the cave near St. Catherine's Monastery, of which he later became the abbot. It's the monastery that he became a monk at when he was 16, and he received his initial monastic formation with his spiritual father, and then he went off a few miles away down the canyon from St. Catherine's Monastery, and he lived as a hermit before returning for the last 4 or 5 years of his life to be the abbot of the monastery. The monastery, by the way, is at the foot of Mount Sinai in the Sinai Peninsula. And the monastery has multiple dedications. In fact, because Moses is associated with Mount Sinai, Moses is one of the patron saints. But when St. Catherine's relics were later brought to the monastery, it became known as St. Catherine's Monastery. Anyway, St. John Climacus, during the period of his life when he was living in the cave a few miles away from the monastery, this took place. He had a certain disciple named Moses, named for the patron of the monastery, the prophet Moses. And one day, St. John sent this disciple out to do some work. And while his disciple was gone, St. John was praying in his cave, and then he fell into a light sleep. And then an angel appeared and woke him from his sleep and said, "John, how can you just be sleeping when your disciple is in danger?" And so he immediately got up and he began praying fervently for his disciple that God would protect him from whatever danger he was in. Well, later on, his disciple came back, and when he came into the cave, he fell on his knees and he began thanking St. John for saving him. And St. John said, "Well, tell me, what do you mean? What happened?" And he said, "Well, I was out working, and it was in the middle of the day, and it was very hot, and so I rested for a little while, and the place where I was resting was in the shade, and it was underneath a big boulder. And so," he said, "I fell asleep in this spot, and then all of a sudden, I was awakened out of my sleep because I heard your voice calling to me, 'Moses, Moses, get up.' And I got up, and I jumped away from the spot where I was. And it was a good thing, because just then the boulder fell onto that spot and it would have crushed me if you hadn't awakened me by calling to me." St. John didn't acknowledge that he had any part in this. He said, "I don't know, God saved you. It was a miracle." And he didn't, in his humility, he didn't want to admit that he was in fact fervently praying for his disciple at that moment. But this is an example of God's providence intervening in a situation that could have been deadly for the disciple Moses. And how many times in our own lives has God intervened and saved us from death or from something else terrible? Many times when we're not even aware of it, because again, we don't have the eyes to see, we don't have the ears to hear, we're oblivious. But God is constantly delivering us. Now, St. John and his disciple Moses, one thing that's significant about this story and about everything that you see in the life of St. John and in all of the lives of the saints is that they don't live by fear. They don't live by fear. And there's no indication that, now they're going to be paranoid about boulders. Well, they live in a rocky place that's full of boulders and they live in a cave and, they could be crushed by a boulder at any time. And so they're not going to start some new policy to avoid, any danger of getting crushed by a boulder. They don't live by fear, they live by faith in God. And in fact, St. John says in the Ladder of Divine Ascent, he says, either we have the fear of God, and in which case, we're not afraid of anything else. He says, those who truly have the fear of God are not afraid of anything else. He says, or we're afraid even of our own shadow. Those are the two options. You have true godly fear, the fear of God. You, in other words, you know that God is God. You know that He's in charge of everything. You know that your life is in His hands, and whatever happens, happens because He allows it. And if you're going to be protected, it's because He protects you. That's the fear of God. Or He says you're afraid even of your own shadow. So take your pick. That's what He says. And the latter. If we're not going to live by fear, what are we going to live by? By providence. By providence. And so the second story that I'll mention is one that probably took place on multiple occasions, but in his life it describes one occasion where there was a drought in Palestine, actually. There was a terrible drought. And people came to the monastery in Sinai, St. Catherine's Monastery, and they came to St. John and they begged him to pray that God would end the drought. And he prayed fervently and the drought ended. Rain came immediately in response to his prayers. So it's an example, of course, of his truly fervent prayer, his strong faith, of course. But it also speaks to us, this example speaks to us of God's providence, that God can intervene, again, in any situation. And when we live according to providence, when we rely on God's providence, then we'll see it. It will manifest itself in our life. But if we don't choose to live by providence, then we won't see it. It won't, you know, generally speaking, unless God just really wants to get our attention in order to bring us to faith, which can happen. But generally speaking, if we don't live basically expecting God to provide for us, then we're not going to see that happen. But Moses certainly did, St. John certainly did live by providence, as Moses did before him, the prophet Moses, and his disciple Moses learned to do. But St. John lived by providence, and so he believed that he could pray and ask God to end the drought and to send rain, and that he would, and he did. But not only when we have eyes of faith do we learn to live by providence, not only that, but even things that we're not expecting to happen, God often will do. He will often do the unexpected, you know? So the saints even come to see these things as normal. They expect the unexpected. Where, you know, because where God is involved, anything can happen, right? So, wonderful story from the life of St. John. This was from later on at the end of his life when he was the abbot in the monastery. And once there was a particular feast day, and they had lots of guests. So you had all the monks, and then all of the guests there, and they had tables set up, and they were serving a meal after the liturgy. And as, you know, the monks were going around and serving the tables, the people noticed there was a certain man going around and helping to serve at the tables, but he looked funny. He didn't look like a monk. He was dressed in Jewish garb. And his hair was cut a particular way, not like any of the monks were. He had a beard, but he looked like kind of a young man. And, you know, they were trying to figure out, who is this man? You know, dressed in this kind of typical Jewish garb. And what's he doing here? And so they were sort of maybe whispering or wondering. And then the man disappeared at a certain point. And they asked St. John, Father John, you know, who was this man? He said, that was the prophet Moses. What do you mean, you know, the prophet Moses? He says, what? You think it's strange? This is his monastery. Here's Mount Sinai. He shows up here sometimes. Don't be surprised. Of course he's here. You know, it's his monastery. And I'll mention one other wonderful story that comes from St. Catherine's Monastery, but actually after St. John's time, his successor, St. Anastasios, also a saintly abbot of the monastery, records this story. He says, once they went up onto the peak of Mount Sinai to serve the liturgy up there. And if you ever go on pilgrimage to St. Catherine's in Mount Sinai, you can hike up to the top of Mount Sinai, and there's actually an Orthodox chapel up there on top where they do services from time to time. Anyway, they were up there doing the liturgy up on top of the mountain. And when they got to the point in the liturgy where the priest says, singing the triumphal hymn, shouting, proclaiming, and saying, you know, and the choir responds, holy, holy, holy. Before the chanters could respond, Saint Anastasio says it's as if the mountains started shouting, "Holy, holy, holy." And he said the echo, the reverberation of that lasted for half an hour. Holy, holy, holy. Like the angels, you know? And that's what we say in the liturgy. We're saying this is what the angels say. And when we say that, the angels are actually saying it. And if you had ears to hear, you could hear it. But these monks heard it. You know, and it was as if the mountains themselves and the angels that were filling the mountains were singing, were shouting, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory." So again, for the saints, these things happen. We should expect the unexpected. God is always present. Anything can happen. The angels are here. And sometimes we might actually hear them if God gives us the ability. And by the way, it's said that not everybody heard that. Just like in the gospel, when the Father speaks and the people hear His voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," you know, at the Lord's baptism in the Jordan River. And then it says some people thought they heard thunder. They didn't have ears to hear. They didn't recognize the reality of what was happening. But those with, you know, eyes of faith and ears of faith do recognize it. So, if we're here on Sunday morning and not doing something else, we have some kind of faith. You know? We're here because we believe. Surely. We do have some faith, brothers and sisters. So it's not that we have no faith, but it's that our faith tends to be, because we're so influenced by the world around us, it tends to be anemic. Anemic. It's our eyes of faith have become atrophied. And we need much prayer and fasting, much obedience to the Lord, much just living the life of the church in order to cultivate really profound and wonder-working faith, the kind of faith that can move mountains. God's providence is continually at work in the world, and the miraculous is continually surrounding us. So let us use the prayer of this man in the gospel, seeking to gain real eyes of faith, real hearing of faith, a real ability to perceive God's presence and to rely on His providence, not to live by fear, but to live by providence and to know that God is always with us. Let us use that prayer of the man in the gospel, "I believe, O Lord, help my unbelief." And let us cry out to our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we glorify together with His unoriginate Father and His all-holy and good and life-giving Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.